I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, my post-game partner here after a 108-97 win over the Philadelphia 76ers, who are a scrappy, good, young team. I will give them their credit after shitting all over the process last night. And on Twitter, every chance I get. I will admit that they are a good, young, hardworking team that moves a lot and plays generally well, even though they make some mistakes. Celtics had to earn this win, and they did, behind a big game from Kyrie Irving, who had 36 points on 12 of 21 shooting, and Al Horford, who had 21 points on 9 of 12 shooting. Al Horford, by the way, on my draft tonight, so good on you, Al, for giving me the chance at some money. At Sam's money, actually. So, you know, this was a very sloppy game in which the Celtics made 17 turnovers, which led to 17 Philly points. I don't know if they got a single loose ball out there for most of the night. It just didn't feel like the Celtics were into it. And they had to rely on Kyrie going supernova and shooting 57% from the field and almost 63% from three. Man, his true shooting number is going to be insane after this one. And it really, those two guys, Irving and Horford, are the only two who had a consistently good night. Morris did okay. Like, at the beginning, he wasn't great, but then he picked it up. And then Tatum had 15 points, but he did most of his damage late. So, really, this was Kyrie and Al bailing the Celtics out. And there's a lot to clean up for the Celtics after this game.
Yeah, no, it was a sloppy game. It seems like that happens whenever the Celtics and Sixers get together. I just remember back to the first game they played in Philadelphia was kind of all over the place. It feels like the refs don't know how to call it. It's definitely a very physical game. And was this like the quietest, like 36 points, like performance ever? It's just, it felt like a lot of the points that Kyrie scored came kind of within the offense. There wasn't as you can point to a number of very cool and absurd things that Kyrie did. One was a like behind the back in the lane. He had some cool floaters. But it wasn't like he was just going ISO the entire time. It was just a very, very casual 36 points, which is why Kyrie Irving is quite good at basketball. But you're right, this was kind of a sloppy game. I definitely think it would be a lot closer if Embiid was in the game. We saw a lot of Rashawn Holmes tonight. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. TLC got a lot of minutes off the bench. The Sixers bench is not as deep as they're going to need to be if they're actually going to want to make a run. But back to the Celtics. I mean, that's what makes the Celtics just one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference is when you have guys not having their best night, you can rely on your stars, in which Al Horford does exactly what Al Horford does, which is just play great in all facets of the game. I just lost internet, but I can't see a stat line, but I'm going to guess it was something like 18, 7, and 6.
For
how
who?
Far off was I? Al Horford.
Al Horford was 21 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists.
So I was close enough. But he was just played amazing all night. And you tweeted out the highlight later. It was later in the fourth quarter, and it was really kind of sealed the game for the Celtics. It felt like they put the game away. It's just the two-man game of them in the pick and roll where Kyrie kind of created more space for Horford by taking both guys into the corner and then had this like super casual pass that just went from immediately from dribbling to just the one-handed bounce pass to Horford, who of course drained the open three. And it was, that's just kind of the exact, when the Celtics were struggling and are in need of offense, it feels like that's something they can turn to. And so it's just, it's really just a greater metaphor for their entire, the entire game is just the Celtics relying on those two guys, those two stars to really just make things happen for them.
Yeah, it really was mostly those two guys. I mean, look, the first quarter, they set the tone. They each shot 4 of 5 in the first quarter. Kyrie had 11. Al had 10. So half of Al's offense came right away in that first quarter, and a third of Kyrie's offense came in that first quarter, basically. So, and then Kyrie finished strong late. It's that in between, that second quarter and the third quarter, that the Celtics really struggled. The Celtics in the second quarter, they've moved to just trying to experiment to start second quarters now. They went for a while with Jason Tatum and a group of guys. They, in the last game, they had Kyrie out there, and today they threw ISO Mook with Semi Ojeleye, Tice, Tito, and Marcus Smart. And that didn't go so well. Marcus Morris in the second quarter did not really do a ton at first. And it wasn't until later in the game, in the second half, I think, that Morris, 13 points in the second half on 5 of 6 shooting. So 13 of his 17 points came in the second half. That second quarter was just, aside from a late burst, the Celtics really didn't do a whole lot.
A good thing for the Celtics is that the 76ers also did not do a whole lot in that second quarter. It was it was an ugly basketball game, and it got real sloppy. It got chippy. There's a lot of whistles. But it's interesting that Stevens stuck with Morris as kind of being the focal point of the offense, especially with that second unit, because it turned out to be more successful in the third quarter. The Sixers went on this 22-9 run, and it eventually actually took back the lead. And I thought immediately Brad was either going to go to one of his favorite three-guard lineups or just put the starters back in. But that's really when he actually brought in, I think it was Tito and Ojeleye. And that's when Marcus Morris just went off. He had he actually had made a mistake on defense or missed an open three, then didn't get back on defense. That's when the Sixers took over the lead, but then they just kind of went back to ISO Mook, and he had, I think it was like 5 or 7 quick points, and it really stemmed the tide and ended the run for the 76ers. So, I mean, as frustrating as I think you can see of a player he can be, and we can talk about the on-off numbers and the net rating, there is just inherent value in a guy who can go out there and get you buckets, and especially when we've seen this second unit struggle all year just to consistently create offense. So if it just means him being super aggressive and getting, taking his shot and looking for his, I think it's like kind of, he plays exactly how we all wish Tatum would play at some points. And eventually I genuinely believe you need just a guy with that kind of willingness to create for himself, just because if you're just going to try and run the offense through the guys on that second unit, it's we haven't seen the best results from that. So all praise goes to Marcus Morris for one of his better performances as a Celtic.
Yeah. And look, for the first time, he's put up some numbers where he finished as a big positive. Usually, even when he puts up whatever numbers he puts up, he's a negative in the plus minus, and we know that plus minus is not anywhere near the be all end all, but he was a plus 13, and the eye test tells you that he was definitely a plus out there. Like I said, especially in the second half, when he started taking over, like you said, the Sixers had made a run, and then he scored a couple of quick baskets. The Celtics took back the lead and never looked back after that. So that was big. I mean, I'm a big proponent of clutch play being possible throughout the game. And you tell me, when the other team makes a run and erases a double digit lead, to be the guy who immediately takes that lead back by hitting a couple of big buckets even though it's the third quarter, that to me is still clutch, even though that's not the technical definition of clutch. That those are key baskets. I guess when it's in the third quarter, those are key baskets and not quote-unquote clutch baskets when they're in the fourth. But whatever you want to call them, those were big. Those were game-changing baskets.
Yeah, and it's we joke about ISO Mook because it's he rarely passes, but it's not like they're, all of his buckets there were completely just clear outs and let him go to work. I thought a lot of the stuff was, at least the first two baskets, was good action that just resulted in him getting the ball after some switches and attacking. And I feel like that got him in rhythm and allowed for more baskets. And you're right, the Sixers only went up by one, and after that it was pretty much the Celtics game from there on out. And then in the fourth quarter, it was basically just a lot of Kyrie Irving being quite dominant. It's just like, I don't know if it's, I'm like no longer surprised, but I'm still surprised every single time he does, like, makes an absurd floater or just like the way he dribbles. It's, I don't know. I've run out of adjectives. He's amazing. He's like the way he has the basketball on a string, and it's just so nice for the Celtics to have a guy they can rely on to do that. And it's not like they didn't, because Isaiah was king of the fourth and things like that, but just the casual nature and just how easy Kyrie Irving makes it look boggles the mind. My mind is boggled.
Let me take this opportunity here to point you to some of our social media outlets. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/RainandJays. And we are on Instagram at Locked On Celtics. And this is because different names are taken, so we have to mix it up a little bit. But if you're on Instagram, and you know, I'll be sending out, basically it's more for the cool pictures that go along with our podcast, but check us out on Instagram. Just look for Locked On Celtics on Instagram. And if you prefer Facebook, we have all of our podcasts going up facebook.com/RainandJays. Of course, we are on Twitter at Rain and Jays, so you can follow us. Whatever your favorite social media outlet is, we'll find a way on there. Maybe we'll start Snapchatting or something. I don't Snapchat. I have it, but I don't like it. But we're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. So check us out there.
Jaylen, don't hit me up on LinkedIn, though.
Don't know. That's for other purposes. Jaylen Brown struggled tonight again. I don't know what Jaylen Brown's what's going on with Jaylen Brown. It may be a function of maybe he's exhausted, maybe he's mentally drained, maybe he's just regressing a little bit. Something's going on with Jaylen Brown. He did not have a good game tonight at all. 1 of 6 shooting for 2 points, 3 rebounds, a couple of assists, 4 turnovers, 4 fouls. Might be Jaylen Brown's, I mean, definitely Jaylen Brown's worst game of the year. Maybe one of his worst as a Celtic. And when the Celtics were whipping off 16 straight wins, Jaylen Brown was a key cog in all of that. Defending like crazy. He's making a lot of defensive mistakes. He was hitting, not everything, obviously, but he was hitting a lot of shots. Like, when you left him open, he would make you pay. And something's going on right now with Jaylen Brown that I don't know what it is. Maybe since the funeral for his friend, maybe it's something that he's struggling with. Entirely possible, entirely understandable. Something's going on with Jaylen Brown right now. I'm just hoping that he can kind of bounce back and figure it out, but not a great game for him at all.
No, he was noticeably not good, and it's kind of been that way for the past couple of games. And you're right; he's not really attacking the basket as recklessly as he did earlier in the season. And that, like, I use recklessly as a good word there, because I feel like that is a lot of what makes him a great basketball player is his athleticism, his ability to just really get to the rim and draw fouls. And we just haven't seen it from him. And you're right. Hopefully it's not like a mental fatigue situation. Maybe it's just a slump that everyone goes through. You kind of forget that he's only in his second year. And it's like tough to use that excuse when you see Jason Tatum just continually play just very, very solid basketball. So you think, oh, it's normal for rookies or second year players just to be very consistent every night. But you know what? Jaylen Brown's still quite young. So he's definitely going through a slump right now. And if the Celtics are going to play some tougher teams like the Pistons they played earlier in this week, they're going to need good performances of him because he is their starting shooting guard. He is very key to what they want to do, and he's probably with their best perimeter defender just in terms of who he can switch on to. Marcus Smart definitely enters that equation as well, but they're going to need – if they're going to want to continue to rip off wins and continue to play well, they're going to need better performances from Jaylen Brown, and I don't know – I don't think there's like a physical, like a clear physical thing that I can see. So like I would lean towards kind of a mental block, but you know, that's me diagnosing someone from 30,000 feet away. Like I have really no idea what's going on with him, right. But it's not exactly what you want to see because we've seen his potential and what he can do. And the Celtics are so much better when he's at his best.
Yeah. Look, it was very noticeable, and he played 8 and a half minutes in the third quarter, during which he was a minus 12. So he was on the floor for basically that entire Sixers run. And then he did not play in the fourth quarter. So that's...
Yeah, Brad noticed.
Yeah.
Like I looked up there and saw down the stretch, and it was like the normal stretch lineup, but Semi was out there instead of Jaylen Brown. So, I mean, if fans like us are kind of noticing what's going on there, and definitely Brad Stevens is, a fix is in order. Like they're going to have to try to figure out something else because, to tell the truth, as much as I love Semi Ojeleye, I don't think he should be one of the top five players finishing out games.
No. And so I didn't want to bring it up to criticize Jaylen necessarily because he's been so key for the Celtics throughout this season, and shit, people have been talking about him as a potential all-star, deservedly so. The past couple of games have been a little rough, and I do believe it's since the funeral that he's started to struggle. So I hope that it's simply a case of a guy who's going through a rough patch and can break out of this. I don't think it's a regression. And look, I understand if he needs to take time to just deal with this, I would rather have him just take the time and kind of get himself together and get right. But whatever it is, I just hope he can kind of eventually here move past it and get back to being the Jaylen Brown that he's been. Because that Jaylen Brown has been awesome. And like I said, and like Sean Devaney and the Sporting News brought him up as a potential all-star. And I think the Celtics, when you look at these guys, Kyrie and Al Horford are probably locks for the All-Star game. Kyrie is probably going to be a starter. Horford almost definitely going to be in there off the bench. And then you have the potential, if the Celtics are sitting here at the top of the standings or near the top of the standings, to throw in a third guy. And that third guy may well be Jaylen if he can get himself back together. So I just hope he gets things back together.
On a more positive note, can we talk about Jason Tatum and how he's consistently awesome?
Yes, closed out the game very nicely. 4 of 6, 9 points in the fourth quarter. That three that he had like felt like 10 seconds to set up and shoot. Just a nice finish for him.
But it was at the start of the fourth quarter, he was the guy. We talked earlier about kind of experimenting with the lineups. It was Tatum with the kind of the rest of the bench. It was Tito, Tice, and Tatum. There's a good trio. But it was this kind of that bench, and they did go to him ISO. He had a nice little step back jumper, knocked it down. Also very casual. But my favorite moment. There's two great moments in the fourth quarter with Tatum. He got the ball on the wing, and Amir Johnson, the big dog. Tatum just. He murdered him. He waved everyone off. He said, "I have the big dog who has shoddy ankles," and he just absolutely destroyed him to the basket. And everyone knew what was going to come, and it was just very impressive. I'm still just the amount of time it takes or the amount of steps it takes from him to get from 3-point line to the basket is just very impressive to me, and his length is phenomenal. And I saw some things tonight that I hadn't noticed in a while. Maybe I haven't been paying enough attention to Tatum when I'm at the games, but I feel like he was more physical in the paint tonight, especially towards the end. He really just took it to Ben Simmons and kind of a like, oh, really? You think you're the presumptive rookie of the year? Bodied him in the chest, basically just like threw Ben Simmons to the ground and had an easy layup. I was just very I enjoy seeing him be that aggressive because that's what we've been asking for basically ever since he started playing for the Celtics, is just him to try and look to get his. So to him to wave someone off when he has identified a mismatch, and for him to just go directly into the body of his defender in the paint, I think those are great signs. And then he's, you know what, still knocking down his three. So maybe it'll be Jason Tatum will be the Celtics' third All-Star. Yeah. Now, maybe I'm taking some crazy pills here, but I think it's possible.
Hey, you never know. It could be. Could be. It's hard for rookies to make it, but he could, I suppose. Look, he did a nice job, and in the end, when you look at the numbers, Ben Simmons, the Celtics did a nice job of holding him in check. We know what he's been able to do, and it was a back-to-back, and maybe the Sixers were a little sloppy because of that. But, you know, they had 19 turnovers tonight, and Simmons had five of them. 15 points for Simmons, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 5 steals, which we'll talk about in a second. I'll just say that a lot of the Celtics' turnovers were pretty damn sloppy.
That's been a problem lately. They've been really turning the ball over in the past, like, 4 or 5 games.
It has been. In the beginning of the game, Al Horford had, you know, we're sitting here talking about Al Horford's awesome game. Al Horford's first quarter, the first few minutes of the first quarter, it looked bad for the first few minutes. And then we forget about that because he came back and was so great. But he hit a three in the first quarter. And I remember, like, Chuck, my partner on Red's Army, said, boy, Al Horford needed that three because he had a slow start. And then since then, Al Horford stepped it up. But that beginning of the game, there's a couple of early turnovers from Horford that looked pretty shitty, but those were his only turnovers of the game. But they ended up leading to Simmons steals. But back to my original point, Simmons, 15.7 assists, 6 rebounds in 40 minutes of play. Tatum in 28 minutes of play, also 15 points, a couple assists, a couple rebounds, a couple of steals. So not that far off for Tatum, and in what, 12 less minutes. So that's a nice night.
And yet I wasn't too, I mean, I'm definitely biased because everyone should know my thoughts about Ben Simmons, hashtag not my rookie of the year, but I was not like amazed or wowed by his performance tonight. I mean, he did have a real cool reverse jam putback dunk very casual, and that was nice. Very impressive. Like he's definitely a competent basketball player, but I was not amazed by the things he was doing on the court. I was more impressed by just the relentless work of JJ Redick and how much he's just like how much attention he commands coming around screens, his ability to still knock down shots, that was my main focus when the 76ers were on offense, was just J.J. Redick is like a menace to have to guard. And as for Simmons, you're right, it could be a back-to-back. But it felt like, you know what, you're going to put up those stats if you're playing 40 minutes a night as the primary ball handler. He didn't do anything that was really wowed me. I don't know. Of course he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. Like, I just I can't see a scenario where he doesn't unless he gets hurt. But I don't know. It's a lot closer, and I know like that. Not my ROI thing has kind of been tongue in cheek, but like I think it's a lot closer than people kind of give it credit for. Just because Tatum's not been given the keys. Like he's not the main guy. He's not going to be putting up kind of empty statistics. He's doing a lot of this stuff within the flow of the offense, and I think that those two guys are both extremely talented, but I guess my biggest point is that Ben Simmons not my rookie of the year.
Well, let me just say this, that we are still in November, and I know that the NBA has gone so year-round that it feels like the season's been going on forever already, because there's just been game after game after game. But we haven't even got, like, Christmas Day is regarded as the, like, pseudo-official start of the NBA season. Nothing has been determined. Nothing. As much as we want to believe something has been determined, nothing has been determined. There's always a possibility of regression. There's always the possibility of some level of guys coming back to earth, some struggles, some changes, a personnel move or two somewhere that pisses somebody off. Like, look at the Memphis Grizzlies, for example. All of a sudden, Mark Gasol gets benched for fourth quarter, then Fizdale gets fired, and all hell breaks loose, and now their ownership might change. Like, that is just a complete grease fire that came out of nowhere. So if you don't think that I'm right when I say anything is possible here, look at what's going on. Anything can happen. So can Simmons maybe come back down to earth? Sure, maybe Tatum has another gear. Maybe Tatum comes back down to earth. But nothing at all has been determined. So right now, rookie of the year, Ben Simmons. It'd probably be unanimous. But let's check back in a month or two. You just never know what's going to happen there. Maybe somebody else steps up. Maybe Dennis Smith Jr. goes nuts. Or somebody else goes nuts and enters into the conversation. So I just caution people to not take everything that's happened right now up to this point in the season as gospel. The Celtics defense has been amazing. They just held the Sixers to 97 points, which, by the way, thank you, Sean Grandy, for this stat. 52 straight wins holding a team under 99 points for the Boston Celtics. Very impressive. But this Celtics defense is slipping a little bit, and you never know who's going to step up or who's going to fade. Nothing. I'll just stop my rant there. Nothing is determined, so anything can happen moving forward with about more than 70% of the season still left to play. You mentioned J.J. Redick. I do want to give Redick credit, not just on offense, but on defense, because the Celtics came out very early trying to exploit that Redick mismatch. They tried to put Tatum on the post on J.J. Redick a bunch. They tried to switch Brown onto J.J. Redick as much as they could, and it worked once. He had a dunk, but Redick is underrated as a defender. He's definitely not going to make any all-defense teams, but he held his own, and Tatum tried to back Redick down. And Redick can get low. People don't realize how strong he is. He held his own there, and the Celtics, to their credit, got away from trying to post Redick, but to Redick's credit, it's because he played that very well. So in the interest of fairness, I want to give J.J. Redick that shout-out. One more thing from the game before we go to Twitter, and I want to just make a point to recognize Point Smart. Marcus Smart as the point guard. I just love Marcus Smart as the true backup point guard, the ball handler. He threw a couple of alley-oops to Al Horford. He made a sweet-ass pass. I mean, maybe his best pass of the night was a pass to Terry Rozier cutting down the lane when Tito got fouled, and that will go like forgotten in the annals of this game. But that was an amazing pass out of the mid post. Like, I'll beat this drum forever. Marcus Smart can really, really pass the ball, and I'm a big fan of Marcus Smart, the point guard.
Yeah, no, he did a great job. He had another amazing pass to find Tito open for a three, and he knocked it down because his name's Tito Three Sticks. But the pass was really the thing that created it. And what he's doing with Al, like, it feels like he's developed this kind of special chemistry with Al Horford on alley-oops. And actually, Ben Rohrbach wrote a whole column that was a good read. Just go read it right now, or not right now. Finish the podcast, then read it later. It was all about kind of why Al Horford's getting more alley-oop attempts this year. And I feel like a lot of it has to do with Marcus Smart. He does a real good job of coming around that pick and roll, getting the guy, it's like slowing down, getting that defender on his back, getting the big to commit. And you're right. I saw some people tweeting out there on Celtics Twitter tonight about how he might be a better playmaker than Kyrie Irving or Al Horford. And it was I initially read it as a hot take, but the more I thought about it, like, he is in terms of just kind of direct passing and like playing in the pick and roll, he does a phenomenal job. And so you're right. He deserves all the credit in the world. Even on, it was hilarious just to, as I heap praise on Marcus Smart, there was those two possessions in the third quarter where he missed two wide open threes. And I knew immediately when he shot them that they were not going in.
Well, luckily there's more to Marcus Smart than his shooting. So I just want to shout out Marcus Smart, the point guard.
Now we got to monitor his ankle because when he first came out of the game, I thought it really looked bad. And that is the type of thing that can like kind of swell up after the game. He just got retaped and immediately came back. But my initial thought was like, oh, that is not good. And I mean, any injury is not good, but you expect a guy with combat muscles that big to leave the game. You're sadly mistaken.
Let's get to some tweets here before we get to the junk drawer and then wrap this sucker up. So let's start right at the top at Ananya Dalal. Tatum and Brown didn't play nearly enough, and it seemed like Mook played the entire game. Can we trade him already? It's an interesting take because Mook basically in the second half was really good, as we've said, and
Jalen was bad.
Jalen was bad. Jalen was bad tonight. And Tatum, you can say he didn't play enough. Sure, that's fine. 28 minutes. But let's also remember that the first half of the game was not necessarily his best, and he did most of his damage in the fourth quarter, almost all of his damage in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to get on Jason Tatum in his minutes. He's 19 years old. It's his rookie year. He's already just about played more than or played about as much as a college player. And he didn't even play all those games last year in college. So we got to make sure that he's preserved. And I don't want to overwork him. There's a rookie wall potentially coming with him. So let's just – I'm happy. I'm happy with him doing what he did, playing 28 minutes. That's perfect for me. Let's not overdo it with him. Keep it light. I'm good. I'm good with all of that. So
it's some coming back to what you said. It's still quite early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's like classic experimentation mode. If you're Brad Stevens, you want to get a bunch of guys minutes. You want to see who can live up to potential, who can implement different schemes you're trying to run. It's like what kind of different lineups work. You're going to want to play a number of different guys. One, so you know what their talent is, and two, just so they have like confidence that they can go out there. So if you need them in the playoffs or something, they have experience. This is like, yes, you play to win the game, as Herm Edwards famously once said. But like this, really, in the grand scheme of things, this win doesn't mean that much. There's like so many little smaller lessons. I'm channeling my inner Kyrie. If the little things don't matter, then everything's a big thing in the long run. But like it's true that there are learning moments that players can take away from this, and so you expect, especially early in the season, the Brad to have a kind of a deeper rotation to kind of try a bunch of different things and see what works. So I think it's kind of it's frustrating to me to see some complaints about kind of minutes and playing time at this point, because it feels like Brad is, one, he's definitely trying to win the basketball game, but two, there's the long play that he's going after.
Yep, absolutely. Robert Denton, at Robert Denton. So many good things about this game, but how about Tatum? He switched from the catch and bucket on purpose to challenge Simmons in the open floor, and when he waved everyone clear on Johnson, on the Johnson mismatch, so impressed. Then there was efficient Tice, Kyrie, .. Yeah, so
that's too long of a tweet. That's why 280 characters was a bad idea. But I agree with everything he was saying. I just that was a mouthful for you to spit out there for a reigning Jays hashtag.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I'm embracing our new 280 character overlords. At Berberanis 99, I think Celtics players have a contest between each other who will have the worst field goal percentage by the end of the season. I think Marcus Smart's going to win that contest regardless. And at Rifesy, Smart's defense is next level. There isn't a position he can't defend. That is true. Marcus Smart. And this is why his shooting, like, we all worry about his shooting, and I want his shooting to get better. But, God, you know, it's almost to a point where it's like you say, his shooting doesn't matter because of that, because he defends everywhere and he passes like crazy, is just a great passer, and he always comes up with an FU play somewhere, somehow. And the shooting, if he can hit a shot, if he can hit shots, then that's a bonus. But he's just always such a plus guy that I'm starting to care less and less about his 3-point shooting.
No, you'd prefer it if they went in, but you just, if you watch the games, you just appreciate everything else he does. And he's right, Ripsy, like he can defend every single position. There's so much value in that. Like the just being able to him, we talk about the kind of playmaking he offers as the kind of backup point guard, to do that and then also be able to basically defend 1 through 4, sometimes 1 through 5, to be like one of your better post defenders is insane. And so anything he gives you on top of that in terms of 3-point shooting is gravy. And sometimes he's going to have a wild game where he hits 6 3-pointers and Stan Van Gundy calls him Kyle Korver. And that's just going to be hilarious. So we're just going to have to enjoy those moments and live with the 30% or maybe less 3-point shooting.
Yep. And that's it for the Rain and Jays hashtag. So before we started the show, Sam said, I have got a full junk drawer. Are you ready to unleash?
I am. And this is the thing. I wasn't even at the game until the second quarter. I started this day in Kentucky, so I made it. I went straight from Logan Airport to the TD Garden. So I asked some of the great Rain and Jays fans to fill me in for the junk drawer until I got to the game. And I have to shout out Patrick, who said, Smart just got posted up and sold an offensive foul so hard that Billy Mays would have been proud. And that's a solid joke, but the best thing that happened is that Billy Mays III liked that tweet. So Billy Three Sticks, as I started to call him. So we're here with shouts to Billy Mays for being a great salesman, and shout to Marcus Smart for flopping his ass off out there. That's always great to see. Also want to thank NBC Sports for streaming their app so I could watch the game as soon as I was deplaning. I was in the very last row, and let me tell you, deplaning from row 34 of a plane is a miserable experience, but NBC Sports, they really helped me out in that moment. Also, my cab driver, driving about 85 miles an hour, was very adamant that the Oklahoma City Thunder were going to win the title this year. And I tried to engage him in conversation and tried to say, they're really struggling right now. And he said, no, they're definitely winning the title. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I was very amused by that man. Why no tribute video for the big dog? I mean, if they just had a compilation of all the threes Amir Johnson made in a Celtics uniform, that would have been hilarious video. A joke tribute video is something I'm 100% for.
Yeah, they started to play it, but it didn't fire in time.
Well done, sir. You're probably, no one's going to see it, and I forgot to take a picture, but Jay King came to the game in like a nice button down shirt and a sweater and like well coiffed hair.
Get out of here.
It was very confusing. It was like he came from a meeting with his probation officer or something.
Was he wearing his greats.com shoes?
He was. He looked like everything was on point. It was like, what the hell are you doing, Jay King? So that was very startling. I mean, I was already in like a weird mood, like weird environment, like showing up coming from the plane. Just to see Jay King like that, it was very, very confusing. Do you guys remember the Marcus Morris heave at the end of the half where he basically shot-putted it from underneath the own basket and hit the rim? That was a heave of all epic proportions. I really wish that went in. This was the biggest, like probably the biggest thing throughout the entire night. At Celtics games in the media room during halftime, they have a great assortment of snacks, an amazing assortment. You can get cookies, candy, anything you want. I normally go for Pop-Tarts, but today the Pop-Tarts they put out there only had one Pop-Tart in the packaging. They've reduced the Pop-Tarts by 50%. It's absurd.
What?
They only had one. It's
That's
a single
outrage.
Serving. It's BS. I started turning around. People saw how upset I was. They started consoling me. They said it's going to be all right. It was outrageous. And I think I neither need to talk to the people at the Pop-Tart factory or the people at the Celtics, because I cannot stand for this. At one point, Jaylen Brown just slapped Jared Bayless in the face. That was pretty cool. you don't see that every day. There was a absolutely horrible call on Marcus Smart where Ben Simmons went up, had no idea what he was doing with the basketball, slammed into Marcus Smart, and the ref just called it a blocking foul. It was absolutely atrocious. It was one of the worst basketball calls I've seen in a while. I don't know why, but the refs are just like really bad for Sixers Celtics games. Let's see. Where's Lil Funk at? I haven't seen Lil Funk perform at a game once this year. And for new Rain and Jays fans or new Celtics fans, or for those who haven't had the chance to go to a Celtics game, Lil Funk is the dance troupe that is made up entirely of the most talented children I've ever seen.
They're awesome.
And normally they're a staple at Celtics games, and I've not seen them once. I turned to the mainest man, Chris Forsberg, who is on the podcast this week. He keeps statistics like this. I knew he would know. He reported to me that they were at the Golden State Warriors game, but you know what? I need more Lil Funk in my life. The Celtics dancers are very talented, but I'm much more impressed by 7 and 8 year olds doing it.
Well, you know, it's a Saturday 1 p.m. game. Maybe we'll get a weekend Lil Funk.
That's true. Normally kids have school the next day and homework. I didn't even consider the lives of the Lil Funk people. I just wanted them to dance for me, and that's on me. Was that Al Horford turnaround jumper at the end of the game like the most disrespectful thing you've ever seen Al Horford do?
Oh, without a doubt.
It was like, Al, where did that come from? It was great because normally he's just like, seems like a very nice and respectful guy. Like even when he gets intense, it's just like clapping away from the play. But that was just like, it seemed like Dario Saric was saying something in Croatian to him and didn't know Al knew Croatian. And then Al was just like, ha, take that, Dario. And it was great. It was the perfect way to punctuate the game. Oh, man, I just ripped through a lot of junk. I don't even know if there's any more left. But, yeah, that's it.
Fantastic.
Wild day for me. And good to end it with a Celtics win.
I want to say props to you for going from Kentucky to Boston to the game to the podcast. That is dedication. That is some serious dedication. That may earn you a spot on the boat.
I don't know, man.
It's that level of dedication that gets you at least in contention for a wild card spot on the boat.
Some nice R&R on the big Australian boat would sound fantastic right now. Oh, that brings me to another raining junk thing. Outback Steakhouse right now has like literally their campaign is just like is called Big Australia. We need to figure out some sort of corporate synergy. I was watching TV the other in Kentucky, and there's just some ad for Big Australia. Come and get some blooming onion. And I was like, oh my Lord. Like we need, if anyone knows anyone at Outback Steakhouse, I don't know why you would. Not just someone who works at an Outback, but like someone in corporate at Outback Steakhouse.
Don't tell me your boy buses tables at the Outback Steakhouse. We want to know the people.
Unless it's
in
like
charge.
A local guy who can hook us up with a blooming onion, then maybe I'd like to know that. But like we're trying to build things here.
I'll settle for the bartender who will slip me a couple of freebies, but mostly I want somebody who's going to, you know, advertise with them. I feel like maybe they stole something from us.
Yeah. Or they stole something from Aaron Baines or Tommy. I don't know. It's mighty suspicious. Okay. They combine the words big in Australia.
No one ever does that. We are the only people who did that.
We were the first people to do that. I feel like it's absurd for them to like market their entire Australian themed restaurant after that. It's just, it's kind of disrespectful. And so if they're not going to work with us, then they've become our enemies. And so that's the gauntlet that I've thrown down right now. It's your move, Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop stealing from us. Next thing you know, there's going to be an item on their menu called the Rain and Jays. Going to be jalapeno poppers and Jägermeister.
Oh my God, that sounds awful, but I would definitely buy it if it had the name Rain and Jays.
I'm willing to sell myself out for even that awful combination.
Rain and Jays jalapeno poppers.
It's really, I couldn't think of multiple J items that quickly. That was really,
especially Australian themed ones.
Yeah,
there's no,
the only Australian, I'm not even going to go, no, never mind. I'm going to wrap up the show, forget it.
Yep, it's gone off the rails.
It's off the rails. We're done. Thanks for listening. The Celtics beat the Sixers 108-97, and they continue rolling on. If you are just joining us for the first time and you've made it this far in the podcast,
welcome.
Then God bless you. then you probably at this point have decided that you might want to subscribe. This is just your kind of weird shit that you want to be a part of. So
you guys can't see, but I'm just dabbing right now in an empty room.
We can imagine. That's very, very on brand for you. So
Jam loves to dab.
Subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics. If you are a subscriber and you have not rated us 5 stars, even though we ask you to do it every damn show, please, please give in, because we're not going to stop asking. So just do it and give us a good review.
Tell a friend. Like, there's plenty of Celtics fans out there who are just like oblivious to the podcast world.
Yeah.
That's the best way to like help us out and like spread word of mouth is just let people know that you've found a good Celtics podcast that you like and you enjoy listening to. Cause that really helps spread and helps us grow. And, yeah,
that's it.
Subscribe, 5 stars, tell a friend.
The best thing you can do, spread the word, tell a few friends, just say, hey, by the way, you got to check out this podcast. That's absolutely the best way you can pay us, by spreading the word. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week with the big boat that may or may not, probably not, be sponsored by Outback Steakhouse. We're the Reina Jays. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.